Hello everyone, and welcome to Open the Podbay Doors. This is our fortnightly-ish news special. We're coming to you, it's Wednesday the 16th of June. We'd normally have done Monday, but that was a holiday and we couldn't do yesterday because the panel couldn't make it. So we're here on Wednesday. Got a great panel, just two people again, but yeah, as I mentioned in the intro, there are no old white men in there except for me. So we have Cheryl Mack from Stone & Chalk and Richard Lynn, who's on the investment team at Airtree. So lots of things to discuss. And wow, what a couple of weeks for Australian tech. According to the AFR, there was $10 billion of deals that were done, or actually half of them were only rumored to have been done. There was an offer for Altium for $5 billion. It didn't end up going through or was rejected. But yeah, the two big news, like a Cloud Guru, which is an Airtree portfolio, was sold for about $2 billion. And Message Media, which is a SMS messaging app, was sold for $1.7 billion. So a couple of massive weeks, some big rounds raised. Yeah, look, some funds who've closed, so Tenacious and Investable. Look, we get into all of that and more. So let's get over and hear the news from this wonderful panel. We are here with our fabulous panel. Just two of them today. Sometimes we have three, but there are two. And the good news is there are no old white guys except for me. So welcome Cheryl Mack and Richard Lynn. So maybe people have heard of both of you, but if they haven't, then we'll maybe just get a quick intro. So Cheryl, why don't we start with you? What are you up to and what are you seeing out in the market at the moment?
Yes, as always, one of the most excited people in the room for everything out in the market right now. Still heading up community and programs at Stone & Chalk, making sure that all of the startups within our hubs in Sydney, Melbourne, and Adelaide have everything they need to succeed. And of course, still doing angel investing and supporting startups on the side, which is super fun.
Stone & Chalk, I mean, because it's kind of evolved from just being, I mean, when it started, it was focus around fintech, but now it's a little broader than that. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have branched out to be all emerging tech. So obviously still have a focus on fintech, but even things like health tech and ag tech and anything to do with cybersecurity, because cyber is hot right now, if you haven't seen in the news, and anything to do with like AI or data and analytics, IoT. We're all emerging tech now.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. And, you know, I love what you guys have been doing. Andrea, my better half was on the board there for a couple of years after they started in Bridge Street. And, I've only got good things to say about it. So it seems to be, very successful.
Yeah.
And just before we move on, like, you have been a sort of anchor tenant and you still are at the Sydney Startup Hub, but any insight into what's happening there? I mean, I think the lease is officially up in a year and a half. There's a new hub coming at Central. There's
Tech
talk
Central.
Tech Central. There's talk at of Walsh Bay. Like, what's happening in the Sydney co-working Tech Central's kind of area?
Yeah, so I guess I don't have all of the inside juicy gossip, but yes, the lease, the 5-year lease on Sydney Startup Hub at 11 York Street is officially up in 2022. I think most of the tenants within it want to stay, and hopefully they can work out a deal to make that work with the government, since it is technically owned by them. And there is a tender out right now, I believe, for Tech Central, for an operator there. And I think that's going to be a pretty exciting cluster. I think the government understands that putting together clusters of tech and getting people to be together can be really helpful for the ecosystem. And they're looking to do that more. So I'm pretty excited that they're going to be supporting another area, whether it's in addition to or ends up moving there.
Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the size of the new Tech Central is big. I mean, it's going to be...
Oh, it's huge. It's going to be huge. There's anchor tenants. There'll be different co-working operators. There'll be a quantum AI hub or something. Don't quote me on that, but yeah, there's...
insert buzzword here, hub.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And in terms of the operator, any insights on who that could be? Stone & Chalk applied?
If I told you, I'd have to kill you, yeah. So...
All right, I didn't think you could answer that one, but all right, let's move on. So Richard, you are you're in the investment team at Airtree, which most of us have heard of. So tell us a little more about you and what your focus is.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the podcast, Ian. So I'm an investor at Airtree Ventures. We are a large early stage venture fund focused on technology startups. And we have a bunch of great portfolio companies such as Canva, Linktree, GoOne, and the recently acquired Cloud Guru.
Yes.
And as part of the investment team, my focus is on investing in the first round of great tech companies like the ones I just mentioned. And prior to Airtree, I was founder of an online marketplace startup and ran that for about 4 years before selling the company to a trade buyer.
So it must have been really hard to get a job as on the investment team at Airtree. So what was your secret skill that got you this gig?
Sure. I'd say, well, I think one thing that really stood out to the team at Airtree was the fact that I had operational experience as a startup founder myself. So I think just being able to kind of empathize with the founder journey as well as kind of what it takes to build a startup and kind of scale it was something that resonated with the team quite strongly.
Yeah. And I know you've got a sort of personal focus, or maybe it's the fund focus as well now, on, you know, energy, renewable technology. So do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. So I've been kind of digging into the climate tech space a fair bit since I've joined. And it seems like there's a lot of activity going on in Australia. And I as well as the team, really believe that it's an area that Australia can punch above its weight. So have been digging into that a fair amount.
And any of the tech that you're particularly excited about? I mean, because there's loads of different tech coming through.
Sure. I think recently I've been looking a fair bit at quite a lot of storage solutions. I think it's definitely a key part to kind of moving towards net zero. And if you believe that that's going to be a thing and the electrification as a whole is going to be a thing, then we need a broader range of storage solutions outside just lithium batteries.
Yeah, because the world's running out of lithium from what I read.
You
need...
Well, it's running out of everything.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we keep using it. What other storage tech is out there, Richard?
Sure. So I think there was recent news of there's been quite a lot of activity in hydrogen. I think there were one of the recent ones would have been kind of thermal solutions as well. A few ones that came out of kind of CSIRO.
Yeah.
And then some kind of wackier long-term storage solutions that haven't been announced yet.
Yeah, I think, you know, and the ones I think you're thinking of are sort of based around gravity. So it's a sort of extension of, hydropower is probably the most obvious one, but, you know, building a snowy hydro will cost you $5 billion and take years and be environmentally damaging. But I think the ones that we're thinking of are a lot less onerous if they work.
Exactly.
So that'll be exciting to be able to announce that at some point. All right. Well, look, let's get into the news. So, you know, before we switched on the mics, we talked a little bit about this. So it was a little tough to find. There's no real global news, I didn't think, of note, but there's so much local news. And I guess the headline here, which we'll start, is there was two major acquisitions announced in the last fortnight. One is for Message Media, which is an almost a 20-year-old Aussie company focused around boring old SMS text messaging. I think they had 60,000 or they have 60,000 customers and they were sending 5 billion messages a year, which is just a crazy number. They were bought by a Swedish software company, Sinch, for $1.7 billion. So that was the first one. And we'll maybe jump back to that. And the second one, which we've got the right person on the show to start to talk about, is a Cloud Guru, we'll get Richard to explain what it was, but it was basically purchased for $2 billion. So Richard, why don't we start with Cloud Guru and then see if we can reverse into Message Media?
Sure.
Yeah. So like, tell us about the Cloud. So what was the company? How did you end up getting invested and how did the acquisition all come about?
Sure. So the Cloud Guru is the kind of number one place for online cloud certification courses. In terms of
cloud certification is like being qualified to operate AWS or Azure or Google Cloud. Is that kind of
correct?
Right.
Correct. And the story of kind of how we met really starts with one of our investment partners, James. So he first met them before he joined Airtree whilst he was still in London, And it was actually one of the first deals he did when he got back to Australia and joined the Airtree team. So I guess I just wanted to caveat that it's really kind of his story and the result of a lot of work that he's put in, and would love for him to be able to kind of share it, but he's actually off on parental leave right now.
Yeah, everyone at Airtree is having babies, I understand.
Yeah, I think they had like four in 2020. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. So yeah, be careful, Richard. It's infectious.
Yeah, basically everybody except me.
You're young. You got plenty of time.
But yeah, I guess at that point, a Cloud Guru is really purely a B2C product. Which was growing well. I'd say it was one of the fastest companies we've ever seen grow to kind of 10 mil ARR. But the ultimate bet we took was that you could take that and build both a B2C and B2B product around it. And that's exactly what Sam and Ryan have done, because B2B is now more than half of their revenues, and they're consistently being able to kind of sell and land multi-million dollar contracts in the enterprise.
Yeah. And so how did the acquisition come about then?
So I guess for that, that's still a bit kind of confidential. So I'm not sure how much I'm able to share there.
Well, I'll quote from Kara Waters' article from the Sydney Morning Herald, because that's definitely in the public domain. So at US giant Pluralsight, which to be honest, I hadn't heard of before that, and the acquisition price was more than $2 billion, which I suspect is US, but I'm not sure whether that's the case. But yeah, and it's only 5 years old, and it was a couple of guys in their from their bedroom, pretty much. I think they're brothers, which is pretty amazing. $116 million in revenue, which is a great number. So the acquisition price was what? Just under 20 times revenue, which doesn't seem, I mean, it's high, but it's not crazy. So that's what's in the public domain. So, but do you know how Pluralsight, I don't know too much about them. Any insight as to how that all came about?
I think they were the other kind of major player in the category. And there was kind of a bit of consolidation going on. I can't go into too many details around the valuation because of the final price because of confidentiality. But I've read those headline figures as well, and I guess if anything, the figures are a bit undercooked.
Ah, there you go.
That's all I can say.
Interesting. Ultimately, it is an amazing outcome for the brothers, for Airtree, and I'm sure for James. Congrats on that. Cheryl, you got any insights here? I mean, you're smiling. I can see you. This is such good news.
It's amazing. It's also an amazing outcome for Australia in general. And what I think is really exciting about this is that it's actually not your typical B2B SaaS like Atlassian and Canva that we've seen come up and get a really great exit. So I think it's exciting for Australia to show that we have opportunities here to be able to grow businesses of different kinds, and that this will give other businesses that may not fit the exact B2B SaaS molds a higher chance of getting that kind of second look. Because I think if you think about where they were 5 years ago, you know, online education, it's not exactly the hottest thing that you would have thought, oh, this is going to have a $2 billion exit in 5 years' time. So I think it might make people think twice about whether to discount a business just because it might not fit the B2B SaaS molds that we seem to be obsessed with in Australia.
Yeah, that's true. And in fact, another one in your portfolio that you mentioned at the top there, Richard, Goal One. That's a spectacularly successful business out of Brisbane that's definitely in that online education space. I mean, any insights in Goal One, or do you want to, you know, give Andrew a bit of a G up?
Yeah, no, they're absolutely flying right now as well. I think playing into a lot of interesting trends around the continuous education of the workforce. And I think similar to Cheryl, it doesn't kind of fit the very traditional mold of B2B SaaS, but still growing amazingly and really hitting on a market need.
Yeah. And look, it's great as well to see some cash coming back into the into the hands of the investors. A criticism that's you sometimes hear leveled, you know, and it's still not that loud because, you know, the funds are still relatively young. I mean, most venture funds are 10 years and, you know, the venture industry is not even 10 years old. Yeah. You know, so, you know, a few of the pundits out there are like, well, it's all very well having paper gains, but cash in hand and cash distributions to investors are what counts. So this will make a difference, I'm sure. So you've got to be pretty happy about that, both personally, but also for the ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, yeah, actual cash on cash returns increase this kind of LP interest in the asset class and helps kind of raise new funds from the investor's point of view. But also for founders and kind of the early team as well, I think providing them with liquidity gives them is just great in terms of reward for years of kind of blood, sweat, and tears, but also provides a great opportunity for them to kind of recycle that into the ecosystem potentially as kind of angel investors as well.
Yeah. Cheryl, you seem busting to jump in this one.
Yeah, that's. I was going to point that out, that whenever you have an exit like this, that does mean that there's a new group of people who understand the startup ecosystem, who understand opportunities in the ecosystem or potential white space that they could jump in, or simply have money to be able to reinvest and recycle that money, as Richard said, back into new startups that are up and coming. So it's super, super exciting. And they're not the only ones. Like we've seen a couple of these come through from other large companies. So it provides more opportunities, whether it's they're investing or that they're potentially employees that are going to go start their own startup. So it keeps the ecosystem going, which is really, really exciting.
Yeah. And I think it's either the second or third biggest acquisition in Australian tech history. So I think KKR bought MYOB, I think that was back in 2018, actually, for over $2 billion. And Oracle bought Aconex for $1.6 billion. I think Aconex was actually listed at the time because there was it's quite amusing. There was a bunch of short sellers that thought Aconex was way overvalued, and they took a massive bath in that, which is always, I was going to say good to see, but you know, you don't love people losing money, but short sellers in that sector, I don't think were necessarily doing a good job for the industry. So yeah, like, second or third biggest acquisition ever, depending on, or maybe the biggest, depending on, and
you look at it
on what the actual result is. But yeah, amazing, amazing story this one. And you know, looking at the photo in the financial review of the two brothers, they look like they're about 25 years old. So I suspect I think they're a bit more than that, but I suspect they have plenty of juice in the tank. So it'll be great to see them deploy that talent and that capital. Hopefully still in Australia. I think I was reading they're down in Melbourne. So when the acquisition was announced, they were stuck in lockdown. So hopefully they enjoyed a glass of champagne on their own. All right. Well, look, that was an amazing story. And the other one, which we probably don't have too much more to comment on here with this panel, but Message Media, $1.3 or $1.7 billion deal being sold to Swedish software Sinch. Does anyone know anything about this one? I mean, I didn't really come across this company. I think they've been around since 2000 almost, so almost 20 years old. So, you know, one of these overnight success stories that's taken 20 years. But again, great to see. I mean, any comments, Cheryl?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about them or Sinch for that matter or anything, any inside gossip on the deal. But again, I think having some of these kind of underground or, oh, shoot, how do we miss that one? You know, you've got Octopus Deploy and a couple others recently where they kind of felt like, oh, where did these come from? And they've had either a big exit or a big raise or whatever it else. Whatever it is, it shows that there's opportunity there that is untapped and that we have opportunity that we should be looking into a bit deeper. So no, I don't have anything inside there.
Yeah. Richard, I mean, like I tried to explain what they do. I mean, they're basically sending text messages. Sounds boring, but there's money in boring.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think from the outside in, it doesn't sound like kind of the sexiest thing to be in, but the company's just done an amazing job kind of riding and growing with the wave of text messages as a form of business communication. I think I read, they started in about 2000 when text was very much in the infancy, and now they're one of the largest players in a pretty huge category. I think they're sending something like over 5 billion messages a year, which is insane.
Yeah. Now, also in the financial review was a rumor of Altium rejecting a $5 billion takeover offer from Autodesk. Again, I don't think there was too much more in this, but I mean, the headline in the AFR was like, this was a $10 billion week of deals, but they kind of included a rejected deal. So I don't think you can quite include that. But, you know, between Message Media and a Cloud Guru, that's about $4 billion. And Altium rejecting $5 billion from Autodesk is pretty interesting. So it's hot out there. I mean, these are huge numbers for Australia in particular, but for just about any country. So yeah, it just feels like, are the markets running hot? I mean, Richard, you must be run off your feet with doing deals and reviewing deals. Like, have you seen the market quite like this before?
Yeah, no, I think at least on the investment side, it's definitely been a very, very busy period. And I think it's great to see that increased activity coming towards the tail end with kind of the exits and cash out side as well. And yeah, I think we think it's all part of kind of a general push in our asset class, kind of towards tech businesses scaling faster, targeting larger markets, and becoming much more valuable as a result. And we think it's also a sign that tech is no longer considered kind of its own distinct asset class, but something that touches everything as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were some pretty significant, I mean, beyond the sort of $1 billion headline figures, there were some relatively significant venture rounds announced for some great startups. Upguard, Mike Boukes, he's one of our summit members based out of Hobart. They just banked another $25 million. They were backed by SquarePeg in the first round. And I think they came back in this round as well, which was great. Amazing business. So Chris Marr, he's raised $16 million, which is a significant round for them as well. And Rich Data Corporation, I don't know much about these guys, but they have announced a $15 million round as well. And then, yeah, I think there was one yesterday, Matt Keeley, another member of our Summit Club group. They just announced a big round. His company's Grow, which does software for superannuation funds. In fact, Richard, were you not involved in that one? I'm getting that right, haven't I?
Yeah. That was one of our investments at Airtree, and Jax has joined the board there.
Yeah, that's
very
right.
Very exciting company.
It's an amazing story. Like, Matt is one of the best founders I've come across. He's quite a... I'm sure he won't mind me saying this. I know him relatively well. He's quite a little guy. And when I met him, he was telling me his backstory as to how he's a professional rugby league player. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, he's definitely not the impression you'd get of a rugby league player. So he's got this incredible backstory. And then he launched this business. And within a few years, he's now turned it into, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of fairly boring sounding superannuation software business. So just one of these great stories that you may not hear of, just been plugging away in the background and has built some incredible success for himself and the ecosystem. Do you get any more insight in that deal, Richard?
Yeah, no, I think they've done very well. We've been kind of in contact with them for quite a while, kind of prior to the round. We always like to kind of get to know founders early. And I think I haven't been too involved, but from what I've heard, they've kind of pivoted and changed their product kind of a bit throughout their journey. But I think what they've landed on now is really resonating within the industry that they're going after, and with a product that's kind of 10 times better than the current solutions out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Matt started explaining some of the reasons behind why the superannuation funds management software industry needed shaking up. And within a few minutes, I was completely confused. It was unbelievably complicated in terms of what goes on in that back end and how regulated it is and how obviously secure it is. I mean, you're dealing with billions or, you know, trillions in some cases of money. So you've got to make sure that your stuff is good and it works and is compliant. So it was a $25 million round. You also had the ASX investing, which is, I think, relatively unusual. It's not often you see the ASX as an actual shareholder in a deal like this. You seen that before, Cheryl?
No. I think the ASX generally are pretty objective, unbiased, yeah, they don't really take sides. So no, I haven't seen that before.
Yeah. And Richard, any insights in the ASX? Do they have a venture arm, or is this just something that they did?
Well, not to my knowledge, I don't think they have a venture
They don't have like a dedicated venture arm, no.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're doing a good job, the ASX. I mean, they've been big supporters of Innovation Bay through the years. They sponsor Venture Down Under, a great group of people. and I think the tech bourse is performing well. In fact, I think there's another story that we're going to talk about where there was another listing last week. But yeah, really interesting that that they're involved in that shareholder register. But yeah, look, just within that, three or four $15 million plus deals being announced in the last 2 weeks as well, which is amazing. So the ASX listing, that was Trajan, it was called. So it's a biotech firm. Listed, where's the price? $150 million or thereabouts. It was more than that. That was the amount that the founders' wealth increased after they listed. So I don't have the price in front of me, but it was a big company, $75 million turnover. John Eales, ex-Wallaby, is the chair of the board. Quite deep tech focused in the biotech space. Any thoughts on this one? Let's start with Cheryl, the ASX. Like, what are you seeing in terms of companies listing and on this one, if you know any more about it?
I don't know anything specific about that one. I think the listings are interesting right now because we've had, like, it's quite polarizing in terms of we've had some successes, we've had some big failure, or not failures, but big dips recently. We've had some crazy growth in the last 12 months on particular companies. Personally, like, the ASX makes me nervous because there's very little rhyme or reason for why things go up or down. And I think that we're just seeing a ton of volatility there right now. But I'm still a big supporter of looking at the option of listing potentially as a Series B option with the ASX, because it does provide a potential option outside of raising your next large round. So still a big fan. I just, as an investor, I think I've just seen way too much volatility in the last 12 months.
Yeah. Richard, any thoughts on the IPO markets?
I guess on Trajan specifically, we're not very focused on biotech, so I haven't not much inside intel there, but have been kind of following the listing journey as a whole, and it's great to see it doing well. I think it's now up something like 50%. And similar to Cheryl, I think it's important to build strong case studies of tech companies kind of performing well locally on the markets for it to be kind of a valid route going forward.
Yeah. I think the ASX in the last 2 weeks has been at an all-time high, and I think a lot of stock markets around the world are there. The US has got inflation concerns. So, I mean, I'm no macroeconomist, but, it's not all going to be plain sailing. I think there's some challenges, ahead. And just on Trajan, $320 million market cap. So I managed to find that number. So that's a big listing.
I was just trying to find it.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, no, it's an awesome story. And congrats to the founders. It was a husband and wife team, which is always nice to see. All right, so what else we got? We have the CSIRO and Ampol Fund. Ampol have funded a new startup in the green hydrogen tech space. So, Richard, what can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, I think there are a few kind of interesting things with this deal. I think one is the insertion point. I find quite interesting in terms of off-grid storage. I think in Australia alone, that's $1 billion plus market by itself and pretty much powered all by diesel generators right now. And I think the second around the investor makeup, kind of that combination of both science and venture as well as industry, is something that has potential to work very well. And the CSIRO and Main Sequence is a great partner, given all their focus on hydrogen solutions.
Yeah. And just, I mean, maybe for the uninitiated out there, like the way that hydrogen storage works is what, like in layman's terms, how do you create hydrogen and how does it work?
For this specific context, I'm not as sure about how they're doing it, given they're off grid. So they're not kind of taking inputs from others. So
I think ultimately it's using energy derived from renewables. So you basically, you know, you use turbines or solar to, you know, crack water, you know, so water is made up of hydrogen and oxygen. So you break it apart using electrolysis and you farm off the oxygen, sorry, the hydrogen. I'm not sure what you do with the oxygen, but you definitely farm off the hydrogen, which becomes burnable. And then when you burn hydrogen, you get water. And I guess that's the punchline. If you store enough hydrogen, you then have this thermal energy that you release by burning it that can spin your steam turbines and create electricity. And I think, yeah, so this startup in here is Endua, I think it's called. They raised $5 million. Look, fantastic to see companies like this inventing cool stuff like this and getting good funding. I mean, it's, the reality is, I mean, maybe Richard, I'll let you give a bit of a, you know, what's it called? A statement about how important it is, about why renewables we need to get behind.
Yeah, for sure. I think a big part of kind of getting to the net zero targets is kind of the shift towards electrification. And for that to be effective, you need kind of powered by renewables. But the issue with that is that they're not as consistent in terms of when they can generate energy. The sun doesn't shine all day, the wind doesn't blow all day. So what you need is kind of a lot of storage solutions, especially over the longer term, that can kind of even out those imbalances between supply and demand. So I think hydrogen itself can definitely be one of kind of the solutions within that.
Yeah. And Cheryl, like, is this investment thesis for you? Like, how behind this are you?
It's definitely not an area of a specialty, I would say, but I absolutely have heard a ton about hydrogen in the last like 6 months. And I am understanding that it's an exciting area that other people are super pumped about, people that I trust and would, you know, trust to say, okay, well, I'll put my money where you're saying you should put it, but not an area that I understand, and possibly not any value of a company having me on, a hydrogen company having me on their cap table. But it's something that if I had the opportunity to invest through a trusted source, I'd probably put some money there, because, yeah, some really, really intelligent people are saying this is the future. Yeah. Richard is one of them. So I like to trust the smart people around me on these things.
Yeah, I think it's also, you know, it's the right thing to do for from a moral perspective. I mean, burning fossil fuels that's been locked up in the ground for millions of years, you know, it doesn't seem to be going that well, you know, so we as humans are pretty, you know, we've got a lot of intuition. There's Bill Gates is backing a new style nuclear power business that's using liquid sodium instead of liquid water to cool the reactors. And it seems to be much better, much more efficient, much safer. So it's interesting seeing even, you know, what is thought of as old and, well, by some people as old and dangerous tech, which I don't agree with. I think nuclear has got a big future. We don't see much of that here. Richard, have you seen any nuclear startup pitches come across your desk?
Not many of kind of the classical nuclear fission products, but there are a few, I think, companies doing interesting things in fusion. One UNSW spin out, I forgot the name of, but I think that's a whole kind of different challenge in itself.
So difference is fission, you're splitting the atom, fusion, you're doing like the sun does and combining the atom together, both of them releasing tons of energy. But, you know, I thought the algorithm with fusion is that it's 20 years away. It's been 20 years away as long as I've been alive.
20 years away.
It's we had one in Canada when I was there, and that was again about 10 years ago, and it was 20 years away then. So I should check in with them.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I haven't heard too much from the Australian side. All right, let's move on. There's a couple of pretty cool announcements from the venture world this week. So both Tenacious Ventures, they closed their fund, so $35 million. And also Investable has done a first close at $35 million with a view to get to a $50 million fund and announced a new CEO. So let's maybe take them in turn. So yeah, Tenacious. Look, I was talking to someone about this over coffee this morning. I mean, they're pretty much the, well, maybe there's two. There are two VCs that have a sector focus, and this, I'll probably get this wrong, and Richard, you can probably pick me up, and or both of you can pick me up and correct me, but Tenacious is only focused on ag tech, and Brandon, which many people haven't heard of, is only focused on med tech, but they've been around for a long time, really successful, but real deep, you know, gene therapy, drug discovery kind of stuff. But yeah, Tenacious is a bit more accessible, $35 million bucks. They back Gotera, you know, it's probably one of their
Swarm
main
farm robotics.
Yeah, you know them all. So yeah, Cheryl, any thoughts on this one? I mean, it's a great group of people, this one.
Fantastic team. Love the team. You know, Sarah's out there and doing some amazing things out in the ecosystem as well. I think, you know, having a fund that is dedicated to something that is so important for our country in general, like agriculture. We literally, like, we export, we lead the world there, and to have a fund that is dedicated here, I think it's almost overdue. And the fact that they partner as well. So you know, you mentioned that they're purely focused on ag tech. They do partner with CSRO, or not partner, co-invest with CSRO on a number of deals. And they recently announced that they will be focusing a bit more on manufacturing, along with another Adelaide VC, Innoviz.
Oh, yeah.
So they're looking to invest more in Australian manufacturing, which I think is really exciting, because we've probably seen some things across the COVID period where, you know, we had to take a second look at, you know, what do we have accessible here if we are going to be closed off from the rest of the world. So yeah, I think some really exciting stuff in our future, and having a fund that is dedicated here is a really good thing for us.
Yeah. And Richard, as the VC, I mean, it's great to see successful funds getting off, but is this going to be the start of more sector focused VCs emerging, or is this a one-off?
I think for sure, potentially. I think it's great news for Sarah and Matt and the broader Tenacious team. And I think it's testament to the great work and the great investments they've made to date. And I think echoing Cheryl's point, it's very exciting to see more capital flowing into agri-tech as a whole, because it's really an area where you can see Australia kind of potentially punching above its weight quite well. We've been bullish on the sector for quite a while, having invested in Fluorosat a few years back, and continue to be kind of on the lookout for great investments there.
Yeah. They got backed, so some of their investors in the fund, I mean, probably the headline one is Grok Ventures, which is Mike and Annie Cannon-Brooks of Atlassian fame. So, and also the CEFC, Clean Energy Finance Corporation. So I think they put in $20 million of the 35. And I suspect the balance was individuals and family office. So, but that's a great list of backers for a fund like this. So yeah, congrats to Sarah and Matt.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, Grok is pretty much only focused on climate tech as well. So we are seeing more focused funds, and I think we will start to see more of that.
Yeah. Look, the further I understood Tenacious, the more that, you know, ag tech does blend into climate. You know, so if you look at Gotera, I mean, the, you know, it's a waste management business using maggots to break down food waste. But if you don't break down that food waste, the amount of carbon that you release, like that, you know, it's methane mostly that goes into the atmosphere, is just enormous. So, you know, the byproduct of the ag tech focus is a climate solution. And I think there's quite a few of what you're seeing in the Tenacious portfolio, you know, sort of operating in that, like, you know, there's some alternative meat startups and carbon credit companies as well. So pretty interesting. So anyway, good on him. I think it's a fantastic story. And then the other fund that we should talk about is Investable. So Trevor and Creel, fantastic outcome. You know, their performance seems strong. I mean, they were also a really early investor in Canva. So I think if you include Canva, their IRR since they started was over 55%. That's what I read. But even if you take Canva out, it's at 35%. So, I mean, these are good performance figures, aren't they, Richard?
Yeah, no, they're great. And it's great to kind of see them get the second fund underway as well. I think it's great sign that the ecosystem's maturing as a whole, and goes to show that kind of success begets more success, which is good for everyone in the ecosystem as a whole.
Yeah. And Cheryl, you know everyone. Ago. You must know these guys pretty well.
I do, yes. Trevor, Creel, big fans. The whole team there at Investable, so excited and proud of them. We've worked and known each other for several years. And I've always been, big fan of how they operate. I think they go in early. They have conviction. Quite understated. You know, I every time I talk to them, like, you guys got to tell your story more. Like,
I think that's true. I agree.
I'm a big champion, but... I was going to say something else, but yeah, they've, it wasn't that long ago that they closed their $20 million, fund. So the fact that they've been able to raise again in a relatively short period of time, I think goes to show, the success that they've achieved, and also the network that they've built around the Angel Club versus the fund.
Yeah.
I think they're going places.
Exciting. Wearing my VC Gillix hat. I mean, we've done.
You might know about that.
Yeah, we do. We've made some co-investments with these guys. We play in a similar space, but great investors. And you're right; they invest with conviction and with confidence, and we've really enjoyed the that interaction. So it's great to get this one closed. So congrats, guys. They've also announced a new CEO. So Rod Bristow, who I've spoken to, but I haven't actually met him yet. So he's been parachuted in. I don't know too much about that or the reasons behind it. Cheryl, have you got any insights on Rod?
No, I haven't met him. Met or caught up with Trevor a little while ago, and he was said some good things. So I trust those guys. But yeah, keen to meet him.
Yeah.
Rod, if you're listening, we'd love to meet you.
Here's the test. Yeah. Cheryl will take you for a coffee. Richard, do you know any insights in this one?
No, I haven't personally met Rod either, but I've heard great things from the team.
Yeah. And also, part of the announcement was that they are going to increase their allocation to impact investments to 10% of their fund, which I think is awesome. So it's good to see that as well. But yeah, no, Cheryl, to your point, their first fund was closed only back in October 2019. So this is within 2 years, they've got
like 18 months
second fund away. So that's amazing. Anyway, congratulations, Investable. What else? I think we've maybe only got time for one more. So what's this one? 21-year-old Australian entrepreneur has secured $65 million for his alternative chicken nuggets called Nugs. Mm-hmm. This caught our attention. He's done it from the US, if I understand this right. So who wants to jump in on this? Like, Cheryl, let's start with you. You see, when we talked about it before, you seemed animated about chicken McNuggets.
Yes. Oh, I'm so pumped. I'm really big on the fake meat, and I know everyone who is in the industry hates that word. But it was about 2 years ago when everybody got really excited about the plant-based meats, which I've tried everything that was available, and whenever it comes available, I'm like, I'm going to go try that one. And was pretty impressed. And now we're starting to get excited and starting to see stuff come to market around the actual lab cultured meat, which is apparently the real meat, but just made slightly differently. I think for me, I'm really keen to see the prices come down, because I think that's where you're going to see actual change in consumer behavior, when it's a reasonable price or even potentially cheaper than the field grown meats.
And there was a bit of a celebrity investor here. So it was
Serena Williams and Alexis Sahanian.
Yeah, so he led the round. And it was, $65 million that was put into this, which is pretty pretty amazing. And he only launched it in 2019. So, yeah, I don't know him. I think he's still living in the US, but he is an Australian kid. So congrats there.
Well, he did say that he was hoping to launch it in Australia soon. So I'm hoping to be able to try it soon.
Well, if he's allowed back in the country, but then hopefully he can afford the business class fare and lawyers to help him get in now that he's done this. So when you're back here, mate, let us know and we'll get you in the show. And Richard, I mean, is it not true that if you take anything, put some batter around it, deep fry it and cover it in spices, it tastes good? So does it matter that it's fake chicken or anything else?
Well, I think it would pass my personal taste test, but not sure about the market as a whole. But no, I think it's super interesting. I think alternative meats is definitely a growing space and important for a whole range of reasons, from kind of climate to even ethics. And I think I had a bit of a look at the site, and this is almost like alternative meats for the kind of TikTok generation in terms of how it's marketed. I think the founders, Young, has done a few software startups beforehand and seems to really be bringing that kind of ethos of rapid iteration and branding from his prior experience into kind of the product that he's doing today. So
yeah,
very, very interesting, very cool.
No, it's great. So Ben Pasternak is the founder's name. He moved to New York when he was 15. So again, I don't know the backstory there, but I suspect his parents dragged him there, and then he has just turned good. I mean, he's been he launched a mobile app, which got to number 16 in the US App Store starts, and then a social media app after that, and then he's done this, and he's only 21. So this is an amazing story. And it's great to see Australian talent out in the world doing some great stuff, and hope he comes back and launches it here and comes and has a chat with us. All right, anything else, folks? What have we missed, Cheryl?
What have we missed?
Yeah, what are you working on? What are you most excited about?
Oh, what am I most excited about? I mean, Startmates. Next cohort is coming up. So they'll be announcing which ones are going through there. We just went through interview day yesterday, and I'm really excited. I think the cohort was really strong. So honestly, I think I said yes to all of them. I was like, yep, yes,
would invest. That's good to hear. I haven't done a Startmate interview day for a long time, but they're a lot of fun when you're actually
so
in
it. Oh, so much fun.
Because it's just kind of like this intense speed dating for the entire day, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's cool. And Richard, what are you most excited about?
Yeah, I think it's we've got a kind of lot of interesting things going on, as always, in terms of new investments and helping support our portfolio companies. But I think I'm really excited as well for year two of our Explorer program for kind of getting more angels into the ecosystem as a whole.
Yeah, no, that is an important job, which we certainly believe. So yeah, any angels out there, you know, get in touch with Richard or us. We've got a group called Horizon that you should have a look at as well. All right, look, why don't we leave it there? We are at time. So look, thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Richard. Richard, first time in the show.
It's thanks,
good
Ian.
To good to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Cheryl, thank you. Yeah, good to have you back. And thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.